Man, I tell you what, I almost forgot what the hell this feels like, man. Beyond the Fairway season 4. We've made some changes, and I'm actually extremely excited to be back doing what we do, man. I think golf has missed us, and I think we've missed, I have at least, giving golf what it needs, actually. Giving golf what it needs. Let's go beyond the fairway, man. What's up?
I mean, shit, we're helping golf reveal itself. I feel like we have not been doing our civic duty, our golf civic duty, in the last umpteen months that we've been gone. But, I mean, it feels good to be back. It feels good to be back and talking about golf. And talking about golf from the black fairways. Yes, it does.
And look, Will, former professional golfer who's now producing shows like Golf Pass shows and Home Course Advantage, Will, you're writing scripts and movies, and you know, sometimes and somehow we have time to do a podcast. I don't know how we do it, but I'm happy to be here with you, cuz.
And I'm happy that you're here with me, cuz you just got off the flight, cuz you're out there for PGA Tour Live for the Texas Valero Open. You always doing new stuff for Golf Pass now. So, like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, growing the game and make sure we have the game covered in all facets, Dolce Gabbana, we doing
there
that.
You go with this weak-ass Spanish. Look, now, if you've been rocking with us for all these years, you already know, like, who's been on here. We've had Steph Curry, Sean Foley.
Annika Sorenstam. CeCe Sabathia.
CC, can't forget about CC Sabathia, Andre Iguodala, John Lester, yes. Jesse Lee Soffer. Look, we've had a lot of people. That's the point.
Yes.
But it's all over, Will. All that stuff that we've done, that's what we did. Now it's time to build from the bottom up. And I'm kind of excited where we're going to take this podcast, because it's going to be a whole new feel, a whole new flair.
Day one again. I don't know if that works, but.
So that's the second time. It's day one again. This is the second time. And this is the fourth season. So your maths ain't mathing.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug, I have to say, bro, this is one segment that I'm so happy that we're doing. I can't say I'm used to it. I haven't got that feeling of finding things in the fairway. But this segment is called Fairway Finds. It's where we discuss the best stories and finds from around the world of golf.
I've been looking, Will, and trying to figure out like what I wanted to talk about with you today. And we've got options because, number one, it's Masters Week. You know, that's when we come back. That's when we bring the show back to the masses. But I don't know which story I want to talk about the most. I want to talk about Ariel Collins and her win in the drive, chip, and putt there at Augusta National. Right. That was dope.
Setting a driving record. Go ahead.
No big deal. But the swing that she used, I ain't never seen nobody head and right arm be at the same level through impact. And man,
regardless, she drives the ball further than I do. Okay.
She gonna need a backiotomy at some point. Shout out to Ariel Collins, winner of the 2024 drive, chip, and putt there at Augusta National. Then we got Nelly Korda, who I think, Will, you talk about our quattro, that's how you say it, not me, our quattro season. Nelly Korda got four in a row.
Four in a row, dog.
Come on. Quattro, like, I don't think people know how like hard that shit is. Like, four in a row.
Bro, it's hard to get one in a row.
It's not in a row if it's one, man. Like, it's just.
Hey, let me flow, dog.
I get what you're saying, but I am impressed with Nelly Korda. I'm impressed with anybody that can go out and win. And in that same vein, and you're going to love this, we're talking about winners. We're talking about drive, chipping, and putting. Akshay Bhatia wins the Valero Texas Open, a playoff over Denny McCarthy, and then now punched his ticket to the Masters, where 10 years ago, when he was a 12-year-old little guy, he participated in the drive, chip, and putt and came in sixth. So now he's going to go back to the Masters and play as a PGA two-time PGA Tour winner. That is special right there. And that's kind of growing the game. I mean, that's tangible.
But think about this, though. You know, in his interview, in his press conference, you know, this week, he can say, yeah, because it's going to be reported. Have you ever been to Masters before? Because somebody's going to slip. Like, yeah, I was here 10 years ago when I was 12 and I won.
It's like, hold on, Akshay, how... Like, this dude's been a professional golfer for almost 5 years.
Real talk. Akshay, so after my mom passed, I was getting into a tournament, you know, feeling like, man, I'm about to go play a mini tour event. I'm about to go win it for mom. And I was paired with him. And he hit this drive. I think my mom in spirit was like, nah, bro, we ain't winning this one. Don't. my mom was like, don't do it for me. He hit the ball so far, Doug. I think one hole, I text him and say, yo, I'm coming up. I'm just get out the way.
Hey, you on the right side or the left side? Because this was on the way up the right. It's over there.
Hey, tell you and our playing partner, I'm coming up. I'm about 500 yards back, but I'm coming. Just give me the time.
I tell you what, I was looking at that event yesterday. I was paired with John Swantek in the broadcast. And what needs to be stated is that Denny McCarthy, going into the round, actually had a 4-shot lead. Denny McCarthy shot 28 of them on the back nine to force a playoff. Akshay actually had to force a playoff in regulation with a 12-footer down the hill and knocked it down.
Think about that.
And Denny McCarthy's the best player putter on the PGA Tour. I tell you what, we talk about these events and how the PGA Tour may be down this year, the viewership's down, et cetera, et cetera. But the last couple events, have really been great TV. Malnati coming down the stretch, Scotty going back-to-back at Players. And you come into the Valero this week, Akshay Batia and Denny McCarthy in the playoff. Like, Will, the golf has been great.
The golf has been great. But you know what? Thing about it, I love the fact that how we can see stuff that the normal golfer can't do. I mean, you know, giving 6-7 birdies in a row, it's tough to do. But the seeing the golfers be humanized as well, Denny McCarthy, playoff, first, second shot, I think it was because he pooped. I mean, he late saw it over his wedge, right? You know, and I think
that he did chunk it. He hit it touch husky.
A tad bit too fat. And I just think that you know, it was a good level, good balance of seeing golf in real form. So that was pretty dope for me.
Hey, is it safe to say that Denny McCarthy don't like him thick?
He just liked the single strips, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. But I tell you what, there in the third round, I did see something that I've never seen before, and I actually happened to be on the live call for it. Ludvig Åberg. I think this man is going to win everything. He's the new Tiger Woods. I don't care what anybody says.
The new Tiger Woods.
Ludvig Åberg is the new Tiger Woods. He's new Tiger Woods. New Tiger Woods. Look. I'll give you a stat. He played on the Ryder Cup team before he's ever played in a major. The Masters is going to be his first major. And now I'm really going to piss you off because I saw what he did finishing top 10 at the Players in his first time, actually a tie for eighth. I'm taking Ludvig Åberg to win the Masters in his maiden voyage.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, when you say the new Tiger Woods,
I was trying to go somewhere else with this point.
I'll get there in a minute. You said a new Tiger Woods. Has Scottie Scheffler not proven himself can be the somewhat new Tiger Woods?
Scotty's boring, dude.
Scotty's what?
I mean, look.
Anytime you got a stinky ass leg in the middle of a golf swing, it's not boring golf, bro.
I love Scotty Scheffler more than anybody. He's one of the kindest people, grounded, rooted in faith, family based.
Yes,
I love absolutely. That. I love it. But Scotty's boring. He's a great golfer. He wins championships. He's number one player in the world, but I just don't see Scotty talking shit like I need from the best player. I think once Ludvig starts to get it going, he's going to have some shit to say that's going to shock some people where it's like, yeah, I'm not afraid to go up against Rory. I'm not afraid to bring Rom ass back from Liv. You know, I'm not afraid of these cats, and I want him to come back so I can bust that ass. Like, I think he'll say that once he gets his reps cracking.
I say this. I had the pleasure during the Players of spending some time at CEO of Korn Ferry Tour, Miss Alex Baldwin, and she invited all the folks over to her house. She has a piece of oven. It was kind of dope. But the Schefflers, Scotty, mother and father were there, and we all had, you know, great piece of great fellowship. And the way his dad described what is about to come in the next few months in golf, my pick is going to be on Scotty. That's what I'm saying. Just from here on out. I mean, I'm almost thinking this guy might get two majors this year. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at.
Who?
Okay, we can move on.
Let's move on.
We got to move on.
You saying Scotty?
Scotty, two majors this year, dog. Two. Dolce Gabbana. Two. Stanky leg and all.
What the hell does Dolce and Gabbana? Is it two people? Dolce and Gabbana is two people? So then it's.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And.
All right. I'll give you this. You like to bet. People want to talk about betting. I'll bet that Ludwig Aubert finishes lower in the Masters than Scotty Scheffler this week.
You out your mind. That Gus does dust on the people.
Is that too out of bounds for you? Is that too out of bounds, Will? Is that too far? Is that over there? Far?
Well, I tell you what's over there and out of bounds to me, which is another segment that we just just conjured up, is out of bounds where the stories that make you wonder if the ball is still in play. And I am curious about this this split between, you know, Bones McKay and Justin Thomas the week before.
What are you curious about?
Doug, let's go ahead and be real.
Let's get to it. Hold on, let's talk about the story first. First of all, let's build it up. Jim Bones McKay, former caddy for Phil Mickelson, NBC analyst and walker, broadcast extraordinaire. He and Justin Thomas, two-time major champion, have parted ways in the news release last week saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and do our own thing, all right? And that's what we're going to respond to. And now, Will, I will let you have the floor, sir.
Well, I just think it's odd. I mean, just from the Afro-American vibes in me.
The Negro knees in you is what you're saying.
Yes. It's just a little ashy. I think it's a little weird. Is that the fact that you're going to split up a week before the Masters? I mean, that's two weeks. That's really like, you know, hey, wifey, I can't get married, or husband, I can't get married 2 weeks before the wedding. I just can't do it. Something had to be said. Something had to happen. Either Bones accidentally called him Phil in the middle of a tournament.
Called him Phil, not Phil, but Phil.
Phil. Phil. No, let my countryness go through, bro. Don't pick on my accent and stuff. But I think that's what had to happen. I think maybe Bones accidentally said, like, hey, Phil, you can, Justin, you can do this.
Even you can't get the feel.
Well, it doesn't matter. I think Phil going to be better than your boy Ludwig. Sorry, going back, because I still can't comprehend that.
I don't hate that statement, which is going to make them both better than Scotty. So I'm still correct in that statement. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to say. I said it on air, and I'm not going to back down from this. And I have the utmost respect for Justin Thomas as well as Jim Bones McKay, but I didn't like them as a pair. And I'll tell you why I didn't like the pair. Because you need a player. As a player, sometimes you got to tell the caddy, I got this shit. Like, I got to hit the ball, shut the hell up. It got to a point with Bones and Justin where I felt like Justin had, like, almost too much respect on some father-level shit for what Bones was offering. And it got to a point, and I've heard it in my ear on broadcast, where it would be like, Bones, what do you want to do here? Now, look, I'm okay with the question, but I'm not okay with the crutch of the player just needing to be walked around like a lost puppy. Like, Justin, make the call. What do you think you need to hit? Tell Bones what your thought is. Get his opinion. And then you overrule him and be the end-all, be-all voice with this particular shot. And if you are actually, in fact, confused, then call your man in. But also own the shot as the player. I don't think the caddies should be making those calls. And I think I'm seeing it more and more and more as I'm doing more broadcasts on PGA, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. Just asking questions.
I do feel you on that. I remember at the Rocket Mortgage last year when Justin was really needing to make the cut. And it, for a minute, I mean, it felt like it was on, you know, I was on plane lesson with the pros a little bit, right? like
he hosted that too.
Right? He hosted that too. Like, I feel like, is there another camera in here somewhere? So it was to the point to where, like, it didn't feel natural, and that dog that was, that's normally in Justin that we've seen over the years, I didn't feel like that was happening. Speaking of dog, though.
No, I was we was on the same track. We right, you and me right there. We was together. Go ahead, finish that transition. I like.
Okay,
it.
Okay, I was saying
the same shit.
I was saying, speaking of dog, somebody that needs to be a dog this week to complete some shit. Rory McIlroy. Sorry, let me get my, not Roy McAvoy. Shout out to Ten Cup. Rory McIlroy visit Butch Harmon for a second opinion on his golf swing. Now, not surprised about that, because I remember during the Genesis, after the third round, I saw Rory down there grinding. And I asked him, I said, everything okay? And he came out, I love him, but it looked like he was about to cry. I could tell he was a different state. He was like, I just didn't hit the ball good, Will. I just didn't hit the ball good. I'm like, okay. Like, the way he sounded, I was like, I need to go up and go pray. I'm going to go pray for, I'm going to send a couple prayers to God. I got you, dog, because I do not want this feeling. Even professional goes with this feeling like, man, I just can't get the ball in the hole. And there's different levels to it, but yeah. So what's your thoughts on that?
You're going to see Butch. Sometimes you got to go get baptized in that Butchness. You know what I'm saying? Butch is also a great motivator. He's not just a great coach. Just the way he talks and communicates to his players well, he can talk you back into playing good golf without even looking at your golf swing. He just give you that Shibadanaya, that hallelujah in the golf.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did you just speak in tongues on the golf podcast?
I'm just saying, you gotta access some different shit when you get. Hey, golf will make you do that shit. Real talk. But what I want to say, the point I want to make though is Rory knows, and he's not leaving Pete Cowan. And he just went to get a different set of eyes and a different little vibe going into the week. But more importantly to me is Rory also said, "Look, I'm not getting to Augusta this week until Tuesday. I'm gonna get there Tuesday. I'm not playing a par three. I'm not gonna get into the pageantry of the Masters. Clearly, he's not invited to the Champions Dinner. You don't have to worry about that shit. But he's doing it a different way than he's done it in past years. So I don't know. Maybe Rory McIlroy. Maybe this new two step that he got going in here is gonna be what he needs, man. I don't know. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Rory this week.
I mean, if you think about the numbers, he was second in strokes gain off the tee, but 134th in strokes gain on approach. So obviously, you got to make sure that your approach to the approachness at Augusta National, it has to be on point. Don't get mad. That's Will Wisdom again. Hey, let me give you a disclaimer. Will Lowry, I'm speaking third person. Will Lowry is going to say some shit that he don't know what he's saying. But if you think about it, it makes sense. This is how the brain of Will Lowry work, so ignore it, but pay attention is what I'm trying to say, like that.
All right, Will, we got a new segment that I'm actually very excited about because it's near and dear to my heart. And as we get into this segment, I am going to pour myself a little bit of this Willet right here. And every week I'll probably highlight something different. This is one of the smoothest bourbons that you'll ever have. But as I'm getting into it, Will, there's always a heated debate. There's always a debate or something going on in the game of golf that is top of mind of people or pissing some people off. And this week, what I want to discuss with you, as I give you a little cheers to anybody out there listening, I'm going to go somewhere different and somewhere difficult, because I saw something yesterday on Instagram and it reminded me where this tournament used to be. You saw the clip of Fuzzy Zeller after Tiger's been in 97 saying, you know, what's he going to serve, fried chicken or collard greens? And then he said, or whatever the hell they eat. That actually happened, folks. You know, for the folks listening in Florida that's not allowed to hear this because your governor said no, look, this happened. There is racism. Fuzzy Zeller said on record that Tiger Woods would likely serve fried chicken and collard greens for his Masters dinner. Well, it probably wasn't too far off. That shit kind of sound kind of good, though, Will. But here's the thing. let me be serious. Here's the thing. Knowing the past, right? We know the past, and we can talk about it. Look, the Masters is probably the most checkered background for race relations in golf, period. You know, and look, Tiger did a great job of advancing things. I'm not saying that. But do you find it hard to get excited year over year for the Masters, knowing you know, where we've come from and what we're selling. It's called the Masters.
I mean, I think for the record,
I'm gonna take so much shit for this.
You are Fuzzy Zeller's not racist. I heard a lot of great things about Fuzzy. I never met him personally, but I heard some of the great people of the game spoke highly about Fuzzy Zeller being a kind and great-hearted individual. But he said what he said. He completely effed up on that one. I think for people who are trying to get in the game of golf and understand the game of golf, a lot of people just can't wrap their head. And I'm speaking specifically towards black and brown. Can't wrap their head around the Masters. Why is it called the Masters, right? I think one of the great clothiers, and I hope I say this correctly, Actively Black. I know he is actively trying to get in the game of golf, and he's doing it his way. He spoke about the Masters. And you know, from his knowledge of golf, I can see, like, you know, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand why it's called the Masters and people don't see the racial undertone to it. So to answer your question, I hope I answered your question, yes and yes. I don't know how we get around that. I'm being candid.
Look, I'm not asking a question. I'm just more posing a concept or a thought. Is it? I grew up at a golf course called Plantation Links. They changed the name years later because called it Planter's Row, right? Because of the association that Plantation have to a yesteryear. I'm not saying change the name of the Masters. I love the tournament. I'm just saying there's a checkered background, and sometimes I'm so excited about it, I get grounded by the fact that it's like, oh shit. You know, we really weren't welcome there unless we came through the back door as a cook or caddy. We weren't welcome at Augusta National. Hell, there were more cattle through World War I more welcome at Augusta National than black folk. I don't know if you knew that or not. They actually grew the grass up in the fairways back in the during World War I, excuse me, and they leased out the land to be grazed upon by cattle just to keep the lights on at Augusta National. That's a true story. Look it up.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just curious of how people enter the game, want to be a part of the game. And, you know, if we don't give the context about, you know, about the history of this game, how it came about, how we weren't allowed to grace the fairways, how we weren't allowed to people had to build their own golf courses to play golf after serving in World War I and II. Shout out to Mr. Powell, Dr. Powell, Rene Powell, father, who did what he did. But I just think that we have to start, you know, speaking about this, you know, not kind of, you know, shifting under the rug.
And yeah, then, I don't have a position on it. I just want to make people think.
Well, you make me think.
All right. Well, this week we're going to introduce a new segment on Beyond the Fairway. It's called One of Us. We're going to go look at the reverse leaderboard. If you're unfamiliar, that's who finished dead freaking last. DFL. All right, and then we're going to talk about them just a little bit to highlight their skills. Because, look, these guys on the PGA Tour, they're all fantastic golfers, but sometimes they don't have their best stuff, which would qualify them for One of Us. And this week, Ryan McCormick, well, he shot 80 on Saturday, went on to shoot plus one on Sunday, got engaged playing ping pong with his wife, had a custom ping pong ball that said, "Will you marry me?" Grew up in Long Branch, New Jersey, won the Big East tournament, Will, 32-year-old rookie, finished 27th on the Korn Ferry Tour, slightly inside that top 30, got his ass onto the PGA Tour. But Ryan McCormick, with your play this week at the Valero Texas Open, guess what, sir? You are one of us.
Especially.
Are we supposed to say sorry to him or something?
No, I mean, he's definitely one of us at the ping pong ball thing.
That's a cheap way to get engaged. That's financially frugal.
Was there a ring in the ball?
No, he got down on one knee, kept it all the way gangster, but the ball had "Will you marry me" on it. So they just pinging and ponging, and then she's like looking at it. Oh, man, yeah, we're going to show that. We're going to share that on social media, man. I think this story's dope.
Yeah, I mean, you should have got an index card for all that.
Hey, all right. Ryan McCormick, man. Welcome, sir. You are one of us.
I'm so glad, man. I'm not losing no friendships on the reverse leaderboard. This is so much better, though. All right, so this is one thing I'm so excited about. We are bringing back Shank of the Week. Shank of the Week has gotten, it was getting popular at one point. Then it got a little tested. I was scared of going to certain clubhouses because I thought somebody would, you know, pop off at me. So it was kind of up and down over the past couple of seasons. But now we are bringing it back, and we are having in our fourth season Shank of the Week. And this week of our first episode of season 4, Shank of the Week goes to Greg Norman. The GOAT, Greg Norman, in so many ways. Greg Norman said that Taylor Gooch is the best iron player in the game of golf in the past 20 years that I've seen and personally witnessed. A little paraphrase there. But I think that is a reach. I think that's Taylor reach. I don't know if that's Taylor Gooch, because to say that the best iron player, Doug, the best iron player. Now, granted, they do have something in common. Well, not a lot.
They ain't won shit.
They won no major. Greg.
Norman won the major. He didn't win the Masters. That's really the one that he
did. He win a major? What, he win British? You're right. He hadn't won the Masters. He has won two majors. I forgot. The British. One just after I was born, and one 4 years after I was born. Okay, my fault. But
yeah, I knew.
I just didn't know. I would say this though. For him to say something outlandish and preposterous as that, I think he deserves Shank of the Week. And you know, I mean, he spent world number one 331 weeks during his career. And for him to say somebody was a better ball striker than him, because he respectfully so, Greg Norman was a great ball striker. He was a great ball striker, but I think he's a stretch. I think he's a little biased on his live league there, and therefore he got shanked weak.
Well, look at it like this, Will. If you take that quote and subtract 20 years, that puts us back in 2004. Tiger had one of the best years of his career. Wait, 3 years prior, 2001. Doesn't qualify for his quote, okay? But look, let's be damn honest. Boo Weekly's a better damn ball striker than goddamn Taylor Gooch. Hell, I can name 1,000 motherfuckers that's better. Sorry.
Fred Couples was a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
Well, Fred Couples slightly qualifies for Champions Tour qualifications.
They played in tournament.
Dustin fucking Johnson is a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch. Period. Scottie Scheffler, better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
Jeff Maggart.
Let me show
I got history in this game. I know.
Bob May is a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
The great Bart Bryant was a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
Trevor Immelman was a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
Immelman was a better ball striker than Taylor Gooch.
Look, Taylor Gooch has said some inflammatory things, but for Greg Norman to co-sign him like he did, that's why he's getting Shank of the Week, and that's honestly some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard, man. So Greg Norman, take a bow, sir. Shank of the Week.
So as we enter into this Masters Week, definitely fits right here. What are the odds? Who are you picking this week, Doug? Give me two hard picks. Who are you going with this week? One that is a favorite, one is someone with a dark horse.
I think my favorite is my dark horse, which is crazy to think. But look, let's set the rules this year, because last year, Will, if you recall, you picked Ricky Fowler to win the Masters when he was not in the field. So have you done your necessary research to see who's playing this year? Because I just want to make sure I don't want you to mess up in the new show. Like, I want you to have complete success. Anyway, Ludwig Åberg. That's my long shot and my other shot to pick. He's going off plus 2,500 at Augusta National. I think he's hitting the ball great. I think if he can clean some things up in his prep this week for putting, I think he's really going to have what it takes to play well at Augusta National. He saves his shots. He hits it high. Does all the things he needs to do to go ahead and get shit done at Augusta. I'm going with Ludwig Åberg, the Swede.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let you out one pick me. So I'm going Jake Knapp. I'm going with Jake Knapp as he's definitely going to be a major contender this week. Major contender this week.
Jake Knapp. Of everybody in the field, you're going with Jake, the Jake rookie. Knapp. First time Jake winner Knapp. A couple weeks ago at Vedanta. Jake Knapp.
And what he said, go back, first time winner, right? First time winner.
In his Instagram is Knapp Time.
I know this is Jake, Steph's stuff. It's Steph's, but
Jake Knapp, the 29-year-old from Costa Mesa, California. Look, this is also coming from the guy who picked CT Pan to win bronze medal. You got that right. I have some respect for how you pick things.
Thank you.
Some. But wow, the 52nd ranked player in the world who's made $2.4 million, first year on the PGA Tour.
Why can't he be him this week, Doug?
Because his strokes gained off the tee is abysmal. He hits it, doesn't hit it where he's trying to intend. Ranks 134th in strokes gained off the tee. I mean, he does everything else fantastic. He's 36 in total strokes gained, but he can barely get off the tee. He's going to be hitting the freaking Augusta Pines all day and chipping out and punching out. And hopefully this saving grace is his short game that where he ranks 18th on the PGA Tour. But look, statistically speaking, Jake Knapp is going to, he's going to have to do something special. Oh, look, everybody in the field is going to have to do something special to win here. Man, Will, I've missed you, man. It's been good to get back in here on the ones and freaking twos to go back beyond the fairway. Look, we felt like we had been inside the ropes for so long, man. Hey, as always, man, thank y'all so much for rocking with us right here beyond the fairway. And don't forget, join the conversation. Get up in here, man, live.
Instagram, beyond the fairway. Submit your questions, your requests, your topics, and we can keep this thing going. And also comment on YouTube and IG, etc.
I'm so glad you've gotten better at that, Will, because usually you just defacted to me to close the show.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you. Will, you're grown up, man. Go ahead and do it.
And also check out Fly Gear from South Central Golf Club, Golden Tee out here.
Or Malbon Golf.
Shout out. Yeah, we're just gonna be a goulash of clothing. And it's,
I feel like Steve is black. I'm just gonna say Steve Malbon is
he do some stuff that made me think he could fit well in my family reunion for sure.
Yeah, he invited to the cookout.
Absolutely, and sometimes he has some cookouts that be kind of fire too. So yeah, do a libation, pour one for the homies too, because I saw it.
I saw it.
Okay.
For the homies, look. We'll be right back.